Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Marilyn Olson is an actor who performs regularly with the company called The Lipstick Project, which promotes women in the arts and expands awareness of women's issues. Their mission statement is to create and promote art by women for the empowerment of women and the enjoyment of all. Olson has performed as Gertrude in Hamlet, Leonidas in Much Ado About Nothing, and will be performing as Watson No. 2 in the upcoming production of The Hound of the Baskervilles, which will be shown from March 2nd through the 10th at the Carriage House Arts Center in Norwalk, Connecticut. So we hope you enjoy our chat with Marilyn Olson here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, Marilyn Olson.
Well, thank you, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Just before we began recording, I was talking to you about Maria Callas because I thoroughly loved your production there with the Phoenix Stage Company. You performed as Maria Callas, and that particular performance blew me away. It was incredible, an incredible performance. That was directed by Lucia Dressel, correct?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was just, it was one of those things because I didn't know, anything going into it. And then when there's a particular turn that the production takes
exactly.
that I wasn't prepared for, that was like, wow, that just was an incredible performance. And so I am so happy and grateful that you're here now to talk to me here on Nutmeg Chatter.
You're very kind, Tim. Thank you.
And I love seeing the work that you do on the Lipstick Project. You perform generally in Southern Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
I hope at some point you come up to, there's opportunities to perform up here in Torrington. I think that'd be fantastic. Let's get into the Lipstick Project. How did you get involved with that?
Well, I did a production of Gypsy at Curtain Call, which is in Stamford, and I was Mama Rose. And the wonderfully talented woman, Rachel Schulte, who was playing my daughter Louise, Gypsy Rose Lee, basically, kind of came up with this and founded the Lipstick Project. She is one of the most creative people I have ever known. Absolutely brilliant. Very young. She's only in her mid-20s. And she had fairly recently graduated from college and had been doing some performing, but was a little bit, I guess she said she was bored because there just weren't enough opportunities.
Sure.
So she decided to create her own. And she's very much a advocate for women's issues. And so this kind of combined both of those dreams of hers. And we got together and did a production of Macbeth, the Scottish play.
Mm-hmm. you can use that phrase. Okay,
yes, we're
right.
Not actually in a theater, so
that's
it's okay
fair.
To say
that's,
it.
That's fair.
And we did one performance, and it was definitely one of the most exciting, thrilling, nerve-wracking, scary productions that I ever did, because memorizing Shakespeare in about 2 weeks is pretty
in 2 weeks.
Intense. Well, we didn't have much rehearsal time. And we only did it for one performance, but it was a labor of love, and everything fell into place that had not been going well during the rehearsal process. And suddenly we were able to put this on. We sold out the house and we got very, very good feedback from it.
Wow.
And that was the germ of the Lipstick Project. And we've been growing ever since. It's our fifth season now.
A fifth season. That is amazing. You know, when I mentioned that you had played Gertrude and Hamlet and Leonidas in Much Ado About Nothing, that's just examples, but not an all-inclusive list. You've performed in lots of productions for the Lipstick Project.
Well, yes, in almost all of them. And the our productions are generally all women.
Mm-hmm.
We do mostly kind of classics. Shakespeare, last fall I directed The Importance of Being Earnest. And in general, we are trying to expand our repertoire, but not all everybody will allow us to do their productions with all women.
Really?
So that's our next kind of platform that we're working on, is to be able to expand our scope and give opportunities to the very, very talented female pool that we have in Connecticut, because really the amount and level of talent is pretty substantial.
Yeah.
So we are definitely working on that. We also do cabarets, which are written by, up to now they've been written by board members, people on the board of directors for Lipstick Project. Our first one was written by Rachel Schulte. It was called Morning Comes, and it was kind of a post-apocalyptic, what do we do now kind of situation. Our second was, I can't remember what the second one, the third one was Perfect, and that was written by Kelly Kilmer, and it was about a woman who was struggling with depression, and depression was actually a character in the cabaret. And this summer we're going to be doing something called Bookworm, written by Jenny Masso, who is a brand new mommy. Hello, Ella. Just a little shout out. She's our youngest Lipstick member. She's part of our lip gloss project for youngins. But Bookworm is going to be about a young girl who is reading books and they come to life.
Oh, wow. That's so nice.
So yeah, we run the gamut. We also have done an original production, again, written by Rachel, called Memory Of, and we actually had men in that. We cast those as they're written as for the gender specifics.
Mm-hmm. But the Lipstick Project really does a lot in terms of having the women take the active role, take all the roles for the most part, but also opportunities for them to write, for them to direct, and to handle all the aspects of it, and just give opportunities. And then the proceeds for the shows becomes, there's also something very special about that too, right?
We donate our proceeds to charitable groups. One of them was to SAFER, which is a program to promote safety and to discourage sexual violence on campuses. Excuse me. Planned Parenthood was one of our charities, the ACLU, which is very important in this day and age. And we've also given to certain individuals who have found themselves in dire straits. Wow. So we generally have a different charity for each show.
Wow. And now that you mentioned that particular organization, it's SAFER, is that correct?
SAFER, yes. Okay. And you can find out more about all of our charities on our website, which is lipstickprojectct.org.
Okay.
All one word.
Lipstick Project CT, but an idea that I feel could be expanded to other states, because this
is we have
such
big,
a wonderful idea.
Big dreams, Timothy. We really do. And it's certainly something that I can see more branches of.
Absolutely. And the concept of ensuring, empowering women, especially in this particular arts community, it couldn't be more pertinent today, especially with the Me Too movement and just the a crescendo of what used to be silence, now voices coming out and sharing their stories, and the importance of empowering women in this community.
I couldn't agree more, Timothy, and that's really where the passion comes from.
Yeah.
Most of us are going to be in New York City on Saturday for the first anniversary of the Women's March. Most of the board members were either in Washington, D.C., I myself, mm-hmm. and Julie Thaxter-Goulet were there, as well as Claire were there in Washington, D.C., and Kelly was there as well. Others were in the New York City March. I myself, Rachel, and Julie are all going to be in New York City on Saturday.
Oh, and just as a programming note, we're recording this on January 18th. However, this will air in February, closer to the closer to March, because closer to March is closer to the Hound of the Baskervilles, which will
Is.
be performed in Norwalk. Guess what? We're at our first break already. When we come back, Marilyn, I'd love to talk to you about the beginnings of your journey in the world of theater. What interests you about theater? What were some of the earlier roles? So we're going to talk about that and so much more as we come back from Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio in Torrington, 40 Waters Street in Torrington, Connecticut, is Marilyn Olson. Marilyn is an exceptional actor. As I mentioned before, I've seen you perform. It brought me to tears in this really, really incredible and powerful Maria Callas performance. I can't say that enough. It's one of those things where, having seen it, I think I wrote in there something, because I wrote about it on Nutmeg Chatter, and I think I expressed that I wished people had, you know, more people could see this particular performance, because it was such an incredible performance. You worked with a number of really talented people like Cymbal Chamberlain and Deborah as well,
yeah.
Deborah Goodman. That was great, and Mike Schick, and that was just an incredible show. Obviously, theater is in your blood, in your nature, because this is what you do. This is your passion. What's your first earliest memory about theater? Was there any seminal moment for you?
Well, as most theater people are, I was kind of an oddball. I didn't really fit in too many places, and was pretty awkward and didn't really find my niche until I started hanging out with what we call fondly the drama freaks mm-hmm. in school. My first role was that of the title role in Oliver, Oliver Twist. So oh, yeah. I've been gender bending for most of my theatrical career.
What about the theater group? Was it just that you found people of kind of similar interests at that particular point in time? Is that what drew you to theater?
Yeah, that's basically it. I grew up in Lake Tahoe in California, and there wasn't a whole lot of professional theater that went on there. People who lived in more metropolitan areas like San Francisco and things would be able to see live theater as kids, but that mm-hmm. didn't really happen. So we were it, and we had a great time with it. I did all of the school productions, and from there I studied music and drama in college, and then moved to New York to go for the big time. Mm-hmm. And I made my living at it for a few years. It wasn't a great living, but that's
in
what
theater,
I did.
In music, in both.
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Yeah, because you have a wonderful voice.
Well, thank you. I do both plays and musicals. Mm-hmm. I enjoy both. As I get older, I probably do more straight plays than musicals, just because there aren't as many roles for you know, women of a certain age. But I do very much enjoy both. And that's one of the reasons that we developed the Lipstick Project, is that being able to play some of the meatier roles in Shakespeare or in just the dramatic, all the stuff that's out there,
yeah.
We can now play roles that we would never play before.
And do you find that with those particular, especially some of the older plays or classics, if you will, that the male roles were the media roles, and the women roles were sometimes subordinate to.
Well, I
with
would,
the exception of Macbeth, because I mean Macbeth, Lady Macbeth had
Lady M. She's quite the character. Yeah. No, in many ways, and it hasn't changed that much. I mean, there certainly is. We're moving towards that, especially mm-hmm. with more female playwrights and writing and screenwriters. But women's parts do tend to be the secondary role, and there's no reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we take up half of the population, and
more.
And we have and we have plenty to say. So that's one of the reasons that we are doing this.
Do you does the Lipstick Project, do they seek out new plays by female playwrights, or if somebody were listening to this and they were a female playwright, do they submit? Are there possibilities of submitting their plays to the Lipstick Project, or how does that work?
We would love to hear from female playwrights. We haven't created a formal way of doing that yet, but
yeah.
it's easy to reach us in any way through our website or through our Facebook page. And we would love to see more of that. As we grow, our mission will expand. As I said, we're interested in reaching out to youth, young females. We're going to be doing some educational outreach that way. We would love to have a play festival at some point.
Yeah.
So we do have big dreams.
And you know, you have the talent behind it to make that happen, which is really exciting. You can definitely see that. It's kind of like looking at a rocket that's lit and it's just waiting to explode out. Now it's really exciting to see.
I love that analogy. That's perfect.
You can see it happening. So it's really exciting to see. In terms of the your particular history, you were in New York. You're doing some theater in Connecticut. I associate with Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the earlier roles in Connecticut that you played, or some of the earlier memories that you have playing in Connecticut?
Well, I have been very lucky in that I have worked at several theaters up here, including our beautiful Warner Theater here in Torrington.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes, my first role there was as the Ghost of Christmas Past in Scrooge, the musical.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, and that's how I got to perform on that gorgeous stage. And another one of my favorites, Blanche DuBois in A Streetcar Named Desire, was here with the amazing Catherine Ray as my beautiful sister. I also had the great privilege of playing Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard
here
in Torrington. That was another amazing.
So you've played some amazing roles. I mean, these
very
are
lucky.
Yeah.
Truly blessed. Truly blessed. That Norma is one of my favorites, as is Blanche.
What is it about being an actor that you like most? Is there any particular aspect of being an actor that for you is that driving force? Is it embodying another person? Is it the way that you can interact with an audience? Or is it some other type of intangible quality?
Well, it's all of the above. For me, too, the actual process of creating a part, creating a role, layering them, making them three-dimensional, that is as fulfilling, if not more so sometimes, than the actual performing of it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, being there in the immediate moment with the audience, who is the last cast member, because... Yeah. You know as well as I do that the performance can be sparked by the energy from the audience. And so there is that ebb and flow and give and take between the performers and the audience that is key to why live theater is so exciting.
And part of that process, there are many different roles besides being an actor. You mentioned that you directed a piece. How many, was that your directorial debut, or have you directed a number of performances?
Well, I used to do quite a bit of directing in college. I took a long hiatus from it. My first recent directorial performance was with Phoenix Stage Company mm-hmm. in Dial M for Murder, which was great fun. Then I did The Importance of Being Earnest, and I am blessed this fall to be directing a wonderful farce called Sweet Surrender at Brookfield Theater for the Arts.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Actually, so you'll have to come on back.
Yeah.
Or,
I would love to do
Some
that.
is yeah, maybe bring one of the actors or actresses, or anyone that you would like to come back and talk about it, or just you come back yourself. We'll talk about that particular show
Great.
because it's interesting. You can talk to an actor, you can talk to a director, and there's a different focus. There's a different focus when you are directing as opposed to acting,
It's
correct?
very different. It's fascinating as a director to watch the daily incremental growth of the production, and it is astonishing and stunning and so exciting to see. The importance of being earnest, I just have to say, I was unbelievably proud of the gals who did that. They were phenomenal. It's a very wordy play, and we worked very hard on the accents, and we worked very hard on keeping it going. And a couple of director friends who came to see it, the first things out of their mouth were, "The pacing's amazing, and your accents are flawless." So I said, "Okay, I did my
Wow,
job."
very nice.
Yes, and it was universally well received. It was great fun. Great fun.
That's amazing. Well, I'll tell you what, we're already at our second break.
Oh my,
So
time
we're
flies.
gonna take a quick break, then we come back. Let's talk about the Hound of the
Oh
Baskervilles.
yes,
That's
let's.
coming on up. We're looking forward to it. So we're gonna be back in just a few moments with Marilyn Olson here on Nutmeg Chatter. Back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in the studio is Marilyn Olson, and we are talking now in this third segment about The Hound of the Baskervilles. This is going to be performed by the Lipstick Project, and Marilyn Olson will be playing Watson number two. So already I'm intrigued. Tell me about this project.
Well, this is an adaptation written by a British actor by the name of Clive Francis. And though it's relatively unknown, if not completely unknown, in the United States, it has toured extensively in Britain, the United Kingdom. I was privileged to see a production of it at the Winnipesaukee Playhouse last summer in New Hampshire, and I said, "This is perfect for us." It is the age-old story of the Hound of the Baskervilles, probably the most famous and best-loved detective story in history, and it's told through the eyes of Dr. Watson. And there are four facets to Dr. Watson. I am his second facet. So we have Sherlock Holmes, we have Sir Henry Baskerville, who's from Pennsylvania, wearing a Stetson, and we have Mrs. Hudson, the long-suffering housekeeper. So each of us is going to be wearing many hats. And when I say many hats, I mean quite literally many hats. We have derbies for Watson. We have deerstalkers for Holmes. We have mob caps for Mrs. Hudson. So it's going to be hilarious fun. Lots and lots of energy. And it's a great, great adaptation of the show.
So if you love Sherlock Holmes, if you love comedy, if you love theater, this is the show to see in Norwalk.
It'll tick all your boxes, as they say.
And that's March 2nd through the 10th at the Carriage House Arts Center. On Fridays and Saturdays, it's at 8 p.m. On the Sundays, it's at 4 p.m.
Yes, it's a different time for matinees there at the Carriage House. Traditionally, it's been 4 o'clock. And for tickets, you can write to lipsticktickets@gmail.com.
Very nice. And so that's tell me about the rehearsal. Have you been rehearsing already
Oh,
with the
yes.
group?
And we crack each other up. It's madcap because it moves so quickly. It's very physical. It's very visual. And each of us has many, many different characters to play. So it's challenging. I have an American accent. I have an upcountry accent. I have an upper class British accent. And so sometimes you have to come in and you have to remember which accent it is that you're supposed to be using. And we're on the floor and we're on the chairs and we're in amongst the audience. It's going to be just great, great fun.
Wow. And it's is this the first time that the Lipstick Project is performing at the Carriage House, or is that where you play many times?
The Carriage House has been extremely good to us. One of our board members, Claire Helen Kenny, she calls it the Room of Requirement, quoting Harry Potter and Hogwarts. Whatever we need when we walk in the door, it just tends to be there at the Carriage House. They have welcomed us with opened arms. That's where we performed our first show, Macbeth. And we have expanded from there. And most of our stuff is and will be at the Carriage House for this season. We are possibly going to be working, very excited about a possible joint project with the Darien Arts Center stage.
Very interesting.
Keep tuned because this one is a mind blower. Tease, tease, tease. And we may be partnering as well with the Wilton Play Shop. We have in the past, that's where Memory of was performed a couple of seasons ago, and that will be later this year.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, before we close, I always like to ask, you are such an exceptional actor. You've had an extraordinary career working in New York and then in Connecticut, and now as part of this particular project, taking many different hats, if you will, as you mentioned. If what type of advice would you have for somebody, a young person who may be listening, who would be interested in kind of pursuing that type of path? In theater. Do you have any words of wisdom or advice to share?
Well, one of the things that we really like to promote is to bring up young people and mentoring. If there are any young women in Southern Connecticut in the Stamford Wilton area who are interested in performing, please contact us. But go to theater, support your local theater, get involved in your local theater, get involved in your high school theatricals. Make sure that your administrators know the importance of the arts and advocate for your kids. Kids, advocate for yourselves. It's really, really important to teach people to think and to pay attention, to listen. These are skills that we're losing, especially in the young people. They have their faces in their phones and their thumbs flying, and they don't necessarily talk face to face. And being able to experience this and listen to the language and having to pay attention is a good skill. So it really is quite universal.
Absolutely. If people want to find out more information about the Lipstick Project, about the upcoming productions for the Lipstick Project, where can they go to on the internet?
So our website is lipstickprojectct.org. We have to add the CT because there is a Lipstick Project in Canada. So this is ours. On Facebook, we are at Lipstick Project CT. On Twitter, we are at the Lipstick Proj. That's Lipstick Proj. As I said, tickets, lipstick tickets at gmail.com. We are also on Instagram, The Lipstick Project CT, LinkedIn, The Lipstick Project, and Pinterest, The Lipstick Project.
Wow. So if somebody is on social media to any degree, they're going to be able to find you and your work and be able to like it or follow it or in some way connect with such an extraordinary group.
Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you for coming in, Marilyn, to Nutmeg Chatter. Talk to us about the Lipstick Project, about the upcoming show, which, again, I just want to say one more last time, is The Hound of the Baskervilles, March 2nd through the 10th at the Carriage House Arts Center in Norwalk. And it's going to be a fantastic show.
Thank you, Tim. See you there.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. Stay tuned for Counterspin at 3:30, followed by The Hotspot with Darcy at 4. We hope you enjoyed the chat.